Have you made up your mind this morning?
No.
Trust that your mind is made up to follow Christ. We have been on the subject of the foundation of truth for, I guess, two or three months now. And we want to understand and know personally, why should I live like I live? How does the Lord want me to live? And why am I living like I'm living? If it's because of peer pressure from the world, it's not good enough. If it's from peer pressure from the congregation, it's not what? It's not good enough. We want to have a personal experience with the Lord, and we want to understand that our lives should be the parameters of why we do what we do are from the doctrines that are in the Word of God, that are in the Scripture. What Christ taught us, Christ is the Word, that we understand the Scripture then, that we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman, rightly dividing the Word of truth, a workman that needeth, well, I got that mixed up. Let's start over. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. So we need to study the Word of God. Everything that you read in a book, just because you get it from Mardell's doesn't mean it's right. I was looking for a devotional book to give to someone yesterday, and I had in my mind what I wanted, and then I decided I'd kind of look at some others there. And a man was standing there looking at him like I was, and I was talking to Renee, and I said, I'm having to go through and look to be sure it's right, because there are so many religious books that are not. And I saw the man, he must have been listening, I saw him kind of nod his head yes. Because there is so much false doctrine in the world. There's so much false doctrine in the world that we need to study. So whatever you read, whatever you hear preached, whatever you hear me preach, measure it by the Word of God. Because my words and my opinions will not get you to heaven. But it's when you yield yourself to the Word of God and to Jesus Christ. So then we've spoken about, we want to have there's a balanced truth. People get off balance and they start putting more emphasis on one part of the Scripture more than another. There is a balance to truth that the Lord wants us to have. So that's why it's important that we be led by the Holy Spirit this morning. We need the Spirit of the Lord that will lead us into all truth, and He will guide us and He'll direct us. And then there are scriptural principles that God has given. And this is all review. But I tell the young people frequently, we learn by repetition. I really pray that we will get a solid foundation in this series. It is coming to an end. It won't be finished today, though. But there is a place that our lives with doctrines are given to us. And then we need convictions. We need to get personal convictions from the Holy Spirit that God has revealed this to me. And then within those convictions and those biblical principles, because remember, principles are not always spelled out in black and white how to live. For example, the principle of holiness. Holiness is a condition of heart. Let's never forget that. Holiness is not exclusively how you dress and look on the outside. Unfortunately, there are many quote unquote professing holiness people that if you look a certain way on the outside, you are accepted and you are close, walking closely with God. Folks, that is spiritual immaturity or deception. Holiness is a condition of our heart. Dress someone from the street up, dress an alcoholic up however you want. Dress it, you can dress someone up and it doesn't change their heart. So we can follow a tradition of outward things, but if our heart is not right with God, it is in vain this morning. So understand that we've got to get the heart right, because holiness is a condition of heart. But then there are principles of holiness and modesty and faith and all that. And it's like, how do I live out this holiness that God wants? So then there is a place within those principles, there is a place of personal standards where we have to draw some lines in our life. Because everything is not, if you do this, it's sin, and if you don't, it's holiness. There are areas that are gray areas in life. And I cannot lay on you my personal standards. So let's look into the Word. In John 17 and the 14th verse, John chapter 17, verse 14, Lord bless His Word this morning. Jesus was praying and speaking to His disciples, and He'd been praying here, but He said, I have given them Thy Word, and the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that Thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. It takes a work of the Holy Spirit to help us to know how to live in this world without being part of the evil of it. Jesus did not pray that we be taken out of the world. It was not the will of God that we have all the saved come together in one location. And I've even named the little city. I remember at the old chapel years ago, I called it Saintsville. If you want to move to Saintsville, all people that are saved, we're all going to come in and we're going to have our own community. That was not the will of God. He did not pray that we be taken out of the world. He actually told us to go eat where? Into the world, right? He wanted us to be able to go out into the world and teach these things and testify of these things. But His prayer was that we be kept from the evil of the world. And if we are saved this morning, if we have a desire for the things of God, that should be, and understand all of the messages that have been preached, they need to be taken in balance. I don't know if I mentioned it during the message or not, I feel like I've been misquoted quite a lot frequently. And if someone's going to pull one sentence out of this series of message, they could do me some damage. But go listen to all 13 of them. Our purpose and our desire should be to please God. If that's not our desire, the compromisers can take something that I've said from the Word. Those that are fanatic could take something I've said. But if our heart, Lord, I want to please You, then these things can help us in our understanding of where to draw some lines in our life and the importance of conviction and the importance of not laying down my personal standards on someone else. So our desire should be, Lord, keep me from the evil of the world. As we consider personal standards this morning that has been illustrated repeatedly the last few weeks, if I'm seeing how close to the world I can get before sinning, does that not say something about the condition of my heart? So you see, it's not a standard in and of itself that's going to keep me saved. It's the condition of my heart is the first thing. My heart should be, Lord, I want to please You. I don't want to see how close to the evil I can get without partaking of it. So Lord, keep us from the evil of the world. But teach us how to live. Now there's a passage of Scripture in 1 Timothy 1:19. 1 Timothy 1:19 that says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Our conscience this morning, there people can form their conscience based on wrong foundations. Because if you teach a child at a young age that it is wrong to wear the color black, it is wrong. God is displeased. And you teach them from the time they're born to the time they're 7 or 8 years old. And then you go along and say, is it wrong to wear black? They would say, yes, it is wrong to wear black. Because their conscience has been formed to think it's wrong. And later, even if they begin to get understanding it, no, that's not wrong. And I use black instead of red for a reason. You know, if you take black and then they get to a place that they understand, it's okay to wear black. Do you realize the first few times they wear black, they're going to feel like they're doing something wrong? Because I'm going against my teaching. I'm going against my conscience. So we do not want to rely exclusively on our conscience this morning. We all, many of us, have been raised in certain ways, and our consciences have been developed to be sensitive to that conscience. And that's a good thing. We want to be sensitive. But we also want to be able to go and examine our conscience and see if it has been shaped based on the doctrines and principles of the Word of God. I trust that that is clear this morning. We want to base our convictions always, and then our conscience, on principles of the Scripture. And so then when we know what those principles are, and we violate those, the principle is holiness. The principle is in everything we do, give glory to God. We covered that last week, and we're going to get there again. And so if that is our principle, I'm not going to be trying to see how close to the world I can get. But if I do, somewhere along the line, I'm going to go back into sin because I'm getting so close to it, and that's where my heart is leaning. When you find your heart leaning to the things of the flesh and leaning to the things of the world, we need to see the red caution light or the red light going off. The yellow flashing light is, well, caution, be careful here. Whether it's yellow or red, that we do not violate our conscience. Has the Lord ever talked to you about something, and maybe you found it in the Word and you knew what God wanted you to do, and maybe you weren't careful to do it like you knew God wanted, and you felt guilty? You felt the Lord correcting you, and you knew the Lord wants me to change, but you just kept doing what you wanted to do. Do you know you stop feeling bad about it because you start justifying and excusing, and pretty soon it's all okay? That's what Paul is talking about here. They used to have a good conscience. They were clear before God, but they wrecked it. They put it away and they've made shipwreck because I violated what I knew God wanted me to do. And then pretty soon I can look people in the eye and say, it doesn't matter. You don't have to do that. I'm free from that. I'm free from that. I don't feel any guilt. I don't feel any condemnation. My question, did you used to? How did the Spirit of God used to deal with you? And see, that's very personal. I can't lay my conscience on you this morning. I'd like to illustrate it this way this morning. We have personal standards that are very important, because remember, with principles of holiness, principles of giving God glory, principles of modesty on the outward, but mostly it applies to our living, what we do, how we talk, where we go. Where's the line? We have principles that should address these things of every generation. But practically, what does it mean for us today? So then we have to draw some lines in our life. And so there are principles. And I'm going to just, every illustration is not perfect, okay? Even in the Scripture, they're there to make a point. It doesn't mean that every part of the illustration makes another point. Because I actually considered multiple different illustrations, and this is the one I settled on in creating this to come up with this point. And I actually asked my wife and daughter, I said, which of these two illustrations that I came up with do you think makes the point better? So if you don't like it, talk to them. I'm being facetious there. But so this dotted line, let's talk about this as being our principles of the Scripture, okay? Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God, all right? So those principles, if we violate those principles, it's going to get us into sin, isn't it? It's going to be sinful because I'm not following the principles of the Scripture. Now the doctrines are black and white. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit fornication. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Those were reiterated in the New Testament. So those things are solid. If I do that, I'm living in sin. But then and I know it's right or wrong, but there's principles that there's some gray areas, okay? So I can say the Scripture has given this principle of holiness, but I don't know how does that apply in my life. If I move over to the right, I'm going to be living in sin, according to the flesh, after the world. Okay? And all the time, against these godly principles, there are pressures of the world that are pushing on those principles. Do you not feel those on a daily basis? There's pressures from the flesh and from the world and from sinful things pressing on us to violate the principles of the Scripture. So we have principles, but then we say, how are we to live them out? We have to set personal standards. So am I going to put my standards out here, my personal standards? Outside of the principle, that's going to be sin, isn't it? So then where in this area, it's like this is the will of God. This is the will of God. It's within His principles. So our desire should be, Lord, I want in the practical choices that I make in life, in how I talk and where I go and what I look at and what I listen to and in what I eat and drink and in all of the things that touch our lives. Lord, I want to be in the center of Your will. Shouldn't that be our desire? So then I want to set some standards in my life. Personal standards, personal choices that I'm going to draw a line right here. Because I know I'm within the principle of the Scripture. I know this is a good place. And you say, well, someone else set their standard right here. Are they still saved? Are they saved? Yes, because they're within the principle. Because the principle is a general, it's a guideline, if you will, but it doesn't always spell everything out, right? This kind of music you can listen to, this you can't. You can go here, but you can't go there. And so then we start drawing some lines. And some people may think they're inconsistent, but they're my personal lines in my life to help me try to stay within the center, in the parameters of God's will for me in my life. So what about someone that puts their standard right here on the edge? It's danger. And this is where people live. And you can't look at them and say, well, you're not saved. Because they're right on the edge. And have you ever had someone ask you about someone and said, well, is so-and-so, are they saved? And you didn't know what to say. It's like, I don't know. Do you know why you don't know? Because we know one another by our fruits. That's what Jesus said. We know people by their fruits. So if someone is living right here, it's like I can't see their heart. I hope they're saved, but I know they're not maybe living real wisely because they're right on the edge and I don't know. Is this where the Lord wants us to live then? He wants us to be a clear testimony of godliness. He wants us to be a clear testimony of holiness and purity. And so that means then that when we start making decisions in our personal life, take the doctrine, number one, take the principles and seek God for convictions and then set personal standards in your life that you are living in a good, clear place. Because see, if maybe you can see from there, this is a little gray area. There's some gray area. And there are people that are living in gray areas with their personal standards, and they're still saved. Right? Yes. So then there's another lesson for us is we need to be really careful as a people. May I say to anyone listening, it's easier just to say to those listening, that doesn't sound like I'm saying to you, right? For anybody that has a tendency to be self-righteous and judge people based on their outward appearance, you're in a dangerous place too. You're in a dangerous place too. Because holiness is a condition of the heart. But if my heart is right, and there are people that maybe are not as living as closely as to what I think they should. And see, we call them liberal right here, right? Don't you call them liberal? And then sometimes somewhere in, you know, fanaticism is really over here as well. This is liberalism, and we say, oh yeah, you can see that, but over here you've got someone that's buttoned up tight, and their skirt's dragging the ground, and their every button's buttoned, and they think that that's going to make them holy. They're both getting away from that balanced principle of what the Bible teaches us. So when someone is living out here, be careful about
saying, well, they're not saved, or they're not.
You leave that between them and God. You leave that between them and God. But personally, what should our heart be? Lord, I want to be a good example of the faith. When people look on my life, they don't know my heart, but by what I am doing, how I am acting, how I am talking, I want people to be able to look at my life, and it should be that they would see Jesus. That they would see the glory of God, that we would be dressed in our robes of righteousness, and spiritually speaking. So this should be our, so there's going to be a range here, and there's some gray areas. So within these areas, they're a little uncertain. And that's what people argue about sometimes. People say, well, I don't know why the church teaches this and the church of God says this and that. No. If it's Bible doctrine, it's Bible doctrine. Right? We brought out some of those things in the last few. It's there in black and white. It's doctrinal. But there are some things that aren't. And that's between you and God. And so I want to encourage us to seek God for personal convictions within the parameters of the principles that He has given us. There is a scripture, and we won't take the time to read it, but in 2 Corinthians 7 and 11, it said, behold, the selfsame thing, let's quote some of it, that you sorrowed after a godly sort. So in other words, when you turned your heart from sin, and you were converted and your heart was changed, one of the things that Paul lists, he said, what carefulness it wrought in you. What carefulness. So I can't say, remember, even on outward things, you could say, okay, where's the line? You know, where's the line? Well, the scripture gives us principles. So then in our pursuit of where we go, what we look at, where what we listen to, all of those things, I would just want to encourage us what carefulness it wrought. I want to live here. And sometimes, you know, I may get in some gray areas, and you know, the Spirit's like, be careful here. Be careful. You haven't sinned, but you're getting closer to this, and these pressures are on you. These pressures of the world. And so, Lord, help me to be extra. If I'm going to err, and I don't want to err, folks, but if I'm going to err, I want to err on the side of caution in my life. So maybe it's okay to go do that, but I'm just not real comfortable with it spiritually, and I just don't think the Lord's pleased with me to do it. Then don't do it. Then don't do it. But be careful about laying that on your brother and sister. And it's not to say, well, okay, here's the line, but see, this is a standard for who? For us personally, we need to draw some lines in our life to keep us from going out here. So what? At what point does right become wrong? At what point does modesty become immodesty? Sometimes it's not all black and white, right? Sometimes there are some gray areas. So then that's the purpose of a standard in our personal life. I'm going to draw my line right here because I know I'm safe. I know I'm safe. But if I get out, you can't tell me I'm not saved right here, and you shouldn't. But you know, I'm just getting that much closer. So we need the Holy Spirit. And we have to be honest with ourselves, folks. It takes honesty. If we take honesty and our desire to please God out of this equation, we will be left with either a life of worldliness or a life of self-righteousness. We'll be left with a shell, having a form of godliness. So, clear, safe standards in our lives, the reason form is principle. So, I began going through a few things last Sunday. I want to mention just a few specific things by nature of, for examples for us. Biblical truth versus personal opinion or preference. You know, the scripture says not to get entangled with the affairs of this life. Is that right? That's Bible principle. It says it. Don't get entangled. So then the question is, what is entanglement? Do you think entanglement might be different for me than it is for you? Depending on what we're talking about. We can get entangled with lawful things. One of the things that many years ago, there were a lot of people in the Church of God Reformation that actually taught and thought that it was wrong to vote. All right? Years and years ago. I haven't heard someone say that for a long, long time. I've known people, though, that had a personal standard and conviction against it. Just so you know, I don't think it's wrong to vote, okay? But I don't want to get entangled. I have heard right here, well, at least in the old chapel, people have testified publicly that when they listened to the radio and all the politics, after a while, it got them so entangled up in their mind, they had to turn off the radio. So is it right for them to come and tell all of us, don't listen to the radio, don't listen to the news, whether you want to listen to Fox or CBS? I mean, you know, that's up to you. Is that, can I put that on anyone else? No. See, in their mind, it was starting to draw them in, that their minds were so occupied with it, it was starting to push the things of God out. So they had to personally put a standard in their life. It's like, you know what? I need to just turn the radio off right now. That's what God wanted them to do. We have to look at entanglement. So is there anything wrong with that? Well, I don't think so. Then what about how far can you go in politics before you're entangled? See, we have to be careful, don't we? Because the same thing I mentioned last Sunday, the same thing with sports issues. We can go out and play a friendly game of baseball. I don't think anything's wrong with that. But yet the world has taken it to a place of idolatry. So where then are we going to place a standard in our personal lives? I have to be careful about placing that conviction or standard on someone else. But I still want to warn all of us, be careful, this is idolatry in the world. Be careful about politics. It'll draw you in. There's been a lot of people that have got wrapped up and entangled with the affairs of this life. So seek God to place a standard to be sure you don't get entangled. See, that's Bible teaching, isn't it? And then some people say, don't address things. Well, God, the scripture says not to love the things of this world, right? So then to give a warning about it is different in putting my convictions upon you. It's saying, you know what, the enemy's really working right now to get people all wrapped up in what's going on in the world. We need to be really careful. Same thing has happened politically with this woke movement in the last number of years. There are some issues that has been addressed in that I agree with and some that I don't. But I saw entangle people. And a lot of it I disagreed with. Please don't misunderstand me. But I believe in equality. I believe in oneness of all people. I believe in treating everyone with respect and dignity. That's biblical. I believe in that. But I'm not going to go down and start protesting on the corner and get wrapped up where there's other people being violent, motivated by a spirit of anger versus a spirit of love and forgiveness and oneness. So you see, you can agree with a principle of something, but be careful how you live it out. So this is the reason why we preach doctrine, we preach principle, we warn on issues, but be careful about laying it on someone else. Another example I like to address. In 1 Corinthians 11:14, it says, "Does not even nature itself teach you if a man have long hair, it's a shame to him?" Now that's scripture. So people, the reason I bring some of these specifics up is I want you to know these are issues people debate. These are issues that people talk about. Well, can you do this or can you do that? What the Bible says, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say that you have to shave it all off as a man. It doesn't say it's wrong to have some hair. But it says it's a shame for him to have long hair. The other side of that is just, and I will just mention this, among the Jews, and this is very often misunderstood, among the Hebrews, it was regarded as disgraceful for a man to have long hair. Except for those that had taken a vow as a Nazarite. And that was a symbol of humiliation. Okay? But as a people, it was seen as a disgrace. Well, in the 15th verse, it says, if a woman have long hair, it is what? It is a glory to her. That's the biblical doctrine on hair. That's the only place I know that it spells it out. A woman is to have long hair because that's her glory. And I will say the world is lessening their glory in our world, aren't they? It is given her for a... Her hair is given her for what? Her hair is given as a covering. That's what the Bible addresses. Now, we could have a lengthy Bible study on that passage there. In the custom of the day, it was a reproach for a woman not to have a veil on. We have been places in the world that it would be a reproach for my daughter and wife to be with me without a veil. So when we went to those countries, when we went there, they veiled up. It was appropriate because it was a disgrace to go and try to share the truth with people and point people to God and then being unveiled. It would be a great reproach because that was their custom. And yet, God gave a woman her hair for her covering. But if you are in a place where it is a reproach within the culture, put on a covering, an additional covering. So, there has been talk, some recently, and some more in the past. Well, how is a woman supposed to comb her hair? A man for that size. Do you know what I see among the men today? I see men having almost more pride than some of the women in all their haircut, fancy hairdos and fancy haircuts and all of that. I mean, that's what I've observed. So I would say, you know what, these biblical principles of simplicity and being careful, that applies to men and women both. So then how is a woman supposed to comb her hair? How is she supposed to wear it? Do you know what the Bible says? It says have long hair. That's what the Bible says. I've heard people say, well, a woman needs to have it up on her head in a bun. They used to say that more, and there are still some today that might promote that. And then I've known other people that I had great confidence in. It's like I've never seen a veil piled on top of the head. You know, I've never seen a veil covering. And so they felt like that a woman's hair needed to be down. What does the Bible teach? Does it tell us which one of those? Am I at risk by asking you that question? It doesn't say, does it? What the Scripture says is a man is to have short hair, or a long hair is a reproach, and it says a woman's long hair was given to her, and that's a glory to her. That's what the Bible teaches. So that means then that how someone were to keep their hair, we cannot preach for doctrine, wear it down or wear it up. There is a place there that in our personal lives, we have to set some standards of this is where I'm clear with God in how I present myself. And I cannot lay that on my brother or sister. Is it okay to amen your own preaching? If it's quiet, I might have to. But understand that we can't, the Bible, and there have been people that have gotten very dogmatic about this. Very dogmatic about this. But I want to say, whatever we do needs to be done in simplicity. It needs to be done that, Lord, I want you to get glory. I'm not trying to be showy. I'm not trying to be fancy. I'm not trying to, you know, broidered hair. We already talked about that, weaving golden ribbons throughout it. That was very clearly specified. But other than that, he didn't tell us, okay, you need to put a clip here and a clip here. That's none of my business. And frankly, it's none of yours either. You need to ask the Lord and live within those parameters. Lord, I want to keep your will, so I'm going to need to set a standard in my life in knowing, being led by the Spirit, how I conduct myself. Our personal standards then should bring glory to God. And sometimes we need to adjust our standards personally. Because I've kind of maybe moved a little bit over here. And I'm still saved and love the Lord and all that. But I the principles here. But I realize I've been getting in some areas. I'm living in the gray. Lord, I don't want to get over here. So Lord, help me just to adjust. I'm hitting the rumble strip spiritually. Lord, help me to move over a little bit. Because I want to be in a place that you can bless my life. A personal standard keeps us personally from violating principles of Scripture. If we do not set standards in our life, we'll find ourselves living outside of the principle. I'm going to go another step. Now, 1 Corinthians 10:31, this was a principle that we addressed, but I'm going to illustrate it. He said, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do covers a lot of territory, doesn't it? Do all to the glory of God. So you may think, oh yeah, whatever you do. Well, he started out by saying, what do you eat or drink? So is what you are eating and drinking bringing glory to God? That's scriptural principle. Is there a place for some standards in our lives on eating and drinking? And whatever we do, doing it to the glory of God? So let me give you an example. The scripture teaches about warning against that which moveth in the cup. That wasn't talking about the low quality or the low alcoholic wine that was very prevalent in Bible times. There were still some that moved in the cup, and there was a warning against that. Okay? Be not drunk with wine. Okay, so then what are other things people have debated through the years? I had this discussion with one of the brothers just this week, last week, I guess. And so we can talk about, there's a lot used to be said about drinking coffee. Okay, some of you can think, maybe you've never heard that. But that used to be there were many people, they don't drink coffee. And I will just say, and it's really none of your business, I don't drink coffee either. But they also used to teach against drinking soda. I do drink. I drink Diet Dr. Pepper. Well, so here's the point I'm going to make. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do to the glory of God. That means that in our lives there's a principle that, Lord, I don't want to be, addiction becomes wrong, does it not? So if I'm addicted to something I'm drinking or eating, I need to back off. That's the principle of the scripture. If I begin, I mentioned this, Brother Max and I were talking, I don't like it when people put up just in the mornings, give me coffee and Jesus. I'm like, there is something really wrong with that. Yeah. If I don't have my coffee, don't even talk to me until I have my coffee. I say, you need to go, don't talk to me until I've gone and have prayer would be a better place to put it. But if we are reliant on a substance, natural or not, to get us in a disposition of Christ, we need to reassess if we are eating and drinking to the glory of God. Is that fair? So then you say, well, it's caffeine, because caffeine is one of the most widely used drugs in the United States, and it is a drug. And so caffeine, then you say, okay, so we cut out, so there's this much in coffee. So, okay, so soda, there's a lesser amount, usually. There's a lesser amount. But, you know, chocolate has it too. So if you're going to say, saints don't use caffeine, it's like, okay, hold on a minute. Do you realize what I'm talking about? Personal standards now? Do you see where I'm going? There's some lines in our lives that we're going to have to draw somewhere that I want to bring glory to God. And if I'm reliant on this for a mood fix, I'm not ashamed to tell you all, something's wrong. If you have to go through the drive-thru or brew something to be in a good disposition, you need to lay it aside. But I can't teach you that it's sin. All I can tell you is that we don't want to be addicted to something, and sometimes a good test is to lay something aside for a while. Be sure that it's all right. Because I cannot tell you, and some may get me in trouble for this, if it was a cold day and I was going out in the snow and there was nothing to drink and all there was a pot of coffee, I can't stand here and tell you I wouldn't have a cup of coffee. I don't make personal habit of it, but then some don't drink Diet Dr. Pepper either. So what is the standard? You say, what's the standard of the church? No, what's the standard of the Bible? The Bible is, whatever you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Don't be addicted to it. Don't be brought under the power of anything. And there are some things in life. Some people have to have a candy. They walk around with chocolates. They walk around with candy. I knew someone that was in very poor health, and they had to make their stops to have their candy stash all the time. Is sugar any worse or any better? See, it affects every area of our life. All things are lawful for us, but not all things are expedient. Gluttony is wrong. Gluttony is talked about in the scripture, and we don't talk about that because that starts getting closer to home. But it's easier to talk about lying and stealing. But we have to set personal standards. We understand practically where this is. We have to set these standards. And there are, how does this make me feel when I go there or do this? I'm not just talking about external things, okay? But how do these things make me feel? What am I being influenced by? And in gray areas, let's just be careful. Because living in the gray is not a good place to live. But I have to be careful that I don't place my personal standards on someone else. Now, I'm going to, before we conclude this morning, and we'll be done shortly, I'm going to read, and I thought it was very interesting because I'm speaking very personally here now. Even in preaching this series of message, I've been very aware that things could be twisted. And there was a lesson I gave a few years ago. I heard recently someone was quoting me as having taught something, and it was like that was as far wrong as anything. They twisted what I was teaching, and then they tried to blame me for something. It was just wrong. But here's the thing. I was thinking, you know what? We still have to teach the truth. I don't want us to be spiritual babies. The Lord wants us to grow up, and part of growing up is growing up understanding that we have personal standards and we can still be saved, and we're going to have to give each other some room. Because if here's a personal standard, for me right here, I may be seeing it as being right here. And in my life, maybe that's where it is. And so you have to be careful about saying, Brother Michael, yeah, you're saved and you're living within the principle, but it would be better for you to do this. Why? We have to give each other some room. So some of you are familiar with Brother C. E. Orr. He's written a number of books. He was a very devout man of God, okay? Very strict. In this article, I'm not going to read the whole article, but I remember this as I was studying the other day. It came to my mind. I thought I'm going to look that up and see what he said again. I know in this article he talks about the Lord convicting him of chewing gum. You think, that's crazy. Why would that? That was a personal thing. He didn't want to waste the money on it. He felt like it was he could use that money for other things. That was personal, and he acknowledged, this is just for me. That's not for anybody else. Can we do that with one another? Can we be that mature enough to recognize that there may be some lines that I draw in my life that are just for me? So, Brother C. E. Orr, in an article entitled Rule of a Saintly Life, I'm going to close with a few passages from this. The question arises, can I lay down a rule to govern the life of another in all its details? Some preachers have attempted to do this and have caused endless trouble. You know why this kind of helps me? Because I'm talking about one of the, in essence, almost a pioneer minister that was saying the same thing, and he was strict. I'll tell you, this is someone that was strict on all these areas I'm talking about, but I want to tell you what he said. He said, between God and each life, there are secret things in which he would have no other to meddle. As a child of God, it is your privilege to know how God wants you to live in those things that belong to your private life. What I learn in my experience that is pleasing or displeasing to the Lord is a rule of my life, not yours. It is a mistake to try to bind on all others what you have learned that pleases God in your life. Some of you would live a great deal differently if I were to require you to live to all that God has shown me. If I were to say, and I just pulled a few passages, if I were to say that Jesus does not require us all to live alike. Now, everyone listen real good. There are some who would say that is a compromise utterance. Just like some would take this, some of these things I've shared in the last few weeks and say, well, that's compromise. I'm so thankful, Brother C. E. Orr, we were in agreement because it's biblical. He said some would say it's a compromise utterance. He said, I do say it. And I will go farther and say that God does not require us in all instances to live now what he may have required of us in the past. He's speaking personally. He's not talking about a change in principle or doctrine. God may have required a certain sort of life in you in the past that he does not now, and he will require a life of you in the future that he does not now, if you will walk life's way hand in hand with him. Some have gone backward to the world. God wants us to get further from the world. See, that's the foundation of all of this. I'm not trying to see how close to the world I can get. But he says he does not want me to frame a rule for your life in all its details. There are things that he would have you to learn for yourself. You cannot be your own individual self if this is not true. You are so constituted that you cannot live like another and be free. When people start blaming the church and people start saying, well, the church just does this and I had to do that, I want to say very openly, lest there be any mistake, you have the right to live like you want to live this morning. But our desire should be to live like the Lord wants us to. But if you're doing something out of force or coercion or peer pressure, it's not good enough, whether it's taking you to the world or taking you to what you might say this is a more conservative lifestyle. The heart is what has to be changed. And we are not imposing on anyone or dictating these personal, private standards of life. So he said in closing, by what I have learned by experience that pleases God is to me the rule of saintly living and not a rule for others. We need personal standards. So if you are doing the right thing because some man teaches you the right thing, you will likely do the wrong things if this same teacher teaches wrong things. You are not to do right things because man teaches those things, but because God has written the right things in your heart. If you are not doing them from a righteous principle in your heart, you are not living saintly. This is the foundation. The Lord wants us to set personal standards in our life to keep us from the evil of the world. And that's going to take a spiritual maturity and an honesty to assess our life and draw lines that will keep us within the principles and guidelines of the Word of God.